This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. For just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about Chef Boyardee, the brand.
Yes, because it came up recently in our oregano episode, and I did not know that Chef Boyardee was a real person. That was a wonderful, shocking surprise to me. So here we are. We thought we would dig into that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not grow up in a Chef Boyardee household. So I was under the misunderstanding that Lauren corrected that SpaghettiOs was a Chef Boyardee product. And I've probably had that like three or four times in my life.
Okay.
So I don't know that I've ever had Chef Boyardee because that's what I thought that was my experience with it. When it came to canned foods, I ate a lot of baby corn. I loved it. And And then those like new potatoes, I loved the cans of that. And then canned green beans are fine. They're usually not great, but I do have a pretty strong nostalgia for them because I loved them so much when I was a kid.
Oh, me too. Yeah, there's something about that texture that's both unpleasant and also very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And yet SpaghettiOs are a rival brand to Chef Boyardee. They're from Campbell's. I will say Chef Boyardee also has canned hoops of pasta.
Which I love.
I'm not sure if they can call them O's or not. And certainly not O's of the spaghetti form.
Never.
But I did eat a certain amount of canned pasta when I was a kid from both brands. It might have helped that I was at perhaps like peak canned pasta age. Which for me, I would say was like 5 or 6 years old when my family lived in Ohio and Pennsylvania, which is where the Boyardee brand is from. My mother at the time worked in art and frame shops around Cleveland, and one of her frequent customers was Mrs. Boyardee.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was so impressed. Five-year-old Lauren was like, you know, a famous person.
A celebrity. Yes. My So my mom and I recently did like a pretty strict 2-week quarantine and then we'll see each other. Because I hadn't seen her since December. And it was really funny because it was when I was doing the research for this episode and she kind of randomly ate some Chef Boyardee, randomly to me because I've never seen her eat it before. And she said like she had a craving for it and we got in a whole conversation about nostalgia and it was just funny. It was one of those like food podcast moments of fortuitousness.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I guess this brings us to our question.
Yes. Chef Boyardee. What is it?
Well, Chef Boyardee is a brand of ready-to-eat Italian-American foods and meal kits, mostly canned pastas and either creamy or tomato-y sauces, some microwavable cups for even quicker meals, and some pizza dough and sauce kits, which apparently used to contain a cheese packet as well, but they no longer do, and this is contentious.
Of course it is.
Yes. And yes, the brand is named for an actual facts chef. His picture is the picture on the package. It's that guy. Though it's a little bit hard to tell what stories about him are real and what are like marketing tall tales at this point.
Yeah.
But they have a whole line of products. The classics are like a spaghetti and meatballs in a tomato sauce, beef ravioli in a tomato and meat sauce, beefaroni. Which is short lengths of noodles in tomato and meat sauce. The meat lovers, which includes like tube noodles of some kind and an Italian sausage in that same sauce. And a lasagna, by which they mean wider, curly-edged noodles in that sauce. But over the years, they featured a whole bunch of different sauces. Butter sauce, cheese sauce, Parmesan sauce, Alfredo style, chili, cheesy meat, which I find fascinating. Like a vegetarian tomato sauce? Oh, my goodness.
What?
They've got products with rice, some with a couple vegetables other than, you know, like tomatoes and onions, some with chicken instead of beef or pork, a couple of cauliflower-based pasta things, and, gosh, any dang number of pasta shapes. Elbow macaroni and shells, your ABCs and 1-2-3s, wagon wheels, co-branded tie-in shapes. Right now, they've got SpongeBob and Paw Patrol lines
SpongeBob.
Of pasta shapes. A few years back, DC Comics had a line. When I was a kid, there were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cans, and they were advertised aggressively during like after school and Saturday morning cartoon blocks.
Yeah. I feel like My older brother loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I seem to recall a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle food products.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and, like, Ghostbusters. One of my favorite things was High C's, like, Ecto Cooler.
Oh,
it had Slimer on the package, which made me think it was the coolest stuff ever. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, Chef Boyardee is definitely marketed to kids and to adults who are looking for something quick and unpretentious and nostalgic. And you know, they taste good. They're salty and tangy sweet and rich. The texture of the pastas is soft, if that's a thing that you're into. The meat is tender, you know.
Yeah. I was kind of jealous of my mom when she was eating it. She said she only had the one can. Dear can. I got it. What about the nutrition?
As with many canned products, salt and sugar and fat are used pretty liberally in these recipes in order to create products that can survive the canning process that makes them shelf stable while still tasting good and, keeping the price relatively low. Read your nutrition labels. Sometimes products that are purporting to be healthier choices, like that cauliflower-based pasta versus wheat-based pasta, aren't actually that much of an improvement. If you're watching your sodium or fat intake, I'd say maybe skip this line of products. They do have some protein, though. I mean, you know, I'd say that they will fill you up, but won't keep you going in the long run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, disclaimer, probably obvious, but they are not a sponsor of ours. We are just
food connoisseurs.
We are collectors of food knowledge. And piqued our interest.
It did. It did. No, brand histories, especially brands that were named for an actual human person, are super fascinating.
Yes. Yes. Or even the ones like Betty Crocker. Betty Crocker is an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, right. See, some are fascinating because they're a real person and some are fascinating because they're not.
Yes, yes. People believe it so hard. They cry when they get to the headquarters and they're told the truth.
Oh no, they do?
Yes. What? There's always a Betty Crocker on site. There's a woman, you know, doing the role of Betty Crocker. And she says, I read an interview with one of the more recent ones, and she says she always has a box of tissues for when people find out that Betty Crocker isn't real, or they start crying.
Wow. Uh-huh. Sure. You know, like people get really wrapped up in food culture and in personalities and characters. And so, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I think it's more, like, they don't think that's really, well, obviously, probably, they don't think that's really Betty Crocker, but they thought she was based on a real person.
Yeah.
When being a housewife is pretty much the occupation for a lot of women, and you were alone and you didn't have the internet, Betty Crocker was this really comforting voice that you could listen to on the radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people formed a connection with her.
Mm-hmm.
I totally see it. Anyway, future episode.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all talked about her, though, over on Stuff Mom Never Told You, right?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So
you
can go check that out if you're interested.
Yeah. And our future episode over here. But yes. For now, we have a very small number of numbers.
Yes. But still, they count as numbers.
They do. It's hard to track down solid, continual numbers for a product like this because these markets are real volatile. I think that the Boyardee brand makes something like over $350 million in sales per year as of 2016, and that it had done that for a long time, and that then there was a dip, which we'll talk about in the history section, but that's kind of back where they are now. And as of 2016, they held 55% of the market share of prepared pasta.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. All right, Chef Boyardee. Well, that's where they are now, but how did they get there?
We will let you know, but first, we'll take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced.
Bring it!
Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. you can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with the history of one Ettore Hector Boiardi. So I looked up the Italian, and I find it fascinating that even I've listened to it several times, my association, my Americanized association with this product is so strong that I keep finding myself slipping into saying it more like Boiardi, Boiardi. And that's, as we talked about in our oregano episode, that's one of the reasons he changed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because salespeople and customers couldn't pronounce it. So.
Yeah. And Hector was not the name that he was technically born with. Ettore was the Italian version, and it got switched over probably when he came through Ellis Island. But I imagine when he came through Ellis Island, although he might have changed it himself.
Yes. Yes. So disclaimer out there, I'm going to try to pronounce it closer to the Italian way, but I feel that
Boiardi?
Yeah, I think I'm going to slip as we go through. So Boiardi was born in 1897 in Northern Italy, and the stories around this kid would have you believing that he knew he was going to be a chef from birth, that he used a whisk as a rattle, that he was an apprentice for a chef in a hotel by the age 11, which sounds like one of those sitcoms where the child prodigy becomes a doctor at age 9 or whatever. And like you said, Lauren, there are so many legends in marketing things. Hard to say.
It is. It is. Piacenza specifically is their hometown in Italy. And times were different then. According to his grandniece, Anna, all the brothers of the Boiardi family were all working in restaurants by like age 8. So if that's accurate, then it's not like impossible to see how he was given an apprenticeship by age 11. Mysteries history.
Indeed. In 1914, at the age of 16, Boiardi made the journey to Ellis Island in search of opportunities, and he started at the kitchen in New York's famous and swanky Plaza Hotel, where his older brother Paul was the maitre d'. A year later, he made head chef, and he was hired away soon after to be the head chef at Barbetta, a restaurant still in operation to this day. According to his New York Times obituary, he catered the wedding reception of President Woodrow Wilson and his second wife in 1915 at West Virginia's Greenbrier Hotel, which was a very elite resort. Just a reminder, if this is true, he had only been in the U.S. for about a year and was 17 years old, somewhere in there. Apparently, the Wilsons were so thrilled with Boiardi's work, they tasked him with catering the meal for 2,000 soldiers returning home from World War I in 1918.
Ooh.
Yeah. He moved to Cleveland, Ohio in 1917, starting a job managing the kitchen at Hotel Winton. He, along with his new wife, Helen, opened a restaurant of their own in 1924 called Il Giardino d'Italia, or the Garden of Italy. It quickly became a popular staple in Cleveland. People waited in line to get in. It really made a name for itself pretty quickly. And the dish this restaurant was most well known for was this freshly made spaghetti topped with cheese. People loved it. They loved it so much that they wanted to make it at home. So Boiardi started offering take-home kits with dry pasta, cheese, and marinara sauce, along with the instructions on how to cook it. I think in the beginning, he spent a lot of his, in heavy quotes, free time ladling the marinara into clean bottles of milk, what had been for milk. It was such a massive hit that eventually, like, that became untenable to keep doing. So much so, the profits from takeout began to eclipse the money he made from dine-in customers. And this gave him an idea. With the help of some regular patrons that owned a local grocery store chain, he figured out the canning process and linked up with a national distributor.
And there's a story that was written by one Robert L. Wolk that went up in the Washington Post about Boyardee contacting this Indiana canning company, all like, I run a restaurant in Cleveland and I'm catering parties by putting my spaghetti in a bucket. Can spaghetti get canned? And the employee, the author's father who he contacted there was like, well, you can can almost anything, but I don't know what it would taste like. Let's try.
I love it. I love it. I believe we discussed in our tomato episode that there is the acid in tomatoes was kind of tricky for people to figure out a can.
Yeah.
For a minute. So, well, it worked out.
Yep.
Boyardee and his brothers got a small processing plant up and running. And in 1928, the Chef Boyardee Food Company was born. And it's spelled with the Italian spelling in its original iteration. Mm-hmm. The first product they offered was a carton of spaghetti dinner. So this was a jar of spaghetti sauce, a box of spaghetti, complete with a package of Parmesan cheese. And it came in three styles of sauce: traditional, mushroom, and spicy Naples style, which I'm very intrigued by. The kits sold well, but Boyardee noticed that his American salespeople, yes, and customers had trouble with the name. So he changed it to the phonetic Boyardee. Because these products were inexpensive, tasty, and easy to make, they became a popular option during the Great Depression. And this helped introduce Italian food to people across the United States. And the ingredients he used were fairly high quality. The company is one of the biggest importers of Italian olive oil and Parmesan cheese. And in 1938, they relocated to Milton, Pennsylvania, when the farmers there agreed to grow a particular tomato type for the company. They grew their own mushrooms, too. At its peak, the factory was churning out 250,000 cans a day.
A day.
Who? Yes. As we said in our oregano episode, Boyardee was commissioned by the U.S. military for rations for the Army during World War II. In response, the factory expanded their operation hours to 24 hours a day, producing cans of spaghetti. For this work, he was awarded the Gold Star for Civilian Service, which is one of the top honors civilians can receive for service to the U.S. military.
Mm-hmm.
Boyardee's smiling face was featured on the packaging from the get-go, appearing in print ads and later some of the very first television commercials. In this way, he became one of the first celebrity chefs. By 1946, the demand for these products had reached such a point that Boyardee was ready to sell the company. And he also wanted to find a way to keep on the extra staff he'd hired to keep up with the extended hours of World War II. At the time, there were 5,000 employees. But sell he did to American Home Products for $6 million. Boyardee stayed on as a consultant until 1978. At the time of sale, the company was making about $20 million a year.
Huh. I know I just keep saying that this episode, but so many of these numbers are so huge. I did want to put in here that at some point during the 60s and 70s, the Chef Boyardee brand expanded to frozen pizzas. But then those went away and are merely a sweet frozen memory.
Echoes of food past, lost forever. Along with his son Mario, Boyardee also opened a flooring and tile company called Boyardee Products, which is still around to this day.
Huh.
Yeah. I looked it up. It has a nice picture of the storefront. Boyardee died at age 87 in 1985. Milton put up a statue in his honor in 2013.
And I have here a Seinfeld reference that I think is the very first time that I've ever beat you to putting a Seinfeld reference into an outline. Okay, so in 1995, in the Seinfeld episode, The Hot Tub, the original script called for Kramer feeding the horse. Kramer is feeding this horse, and he fed it beefaroni in the original script. But the Boyardee company objected. And so that's how the name of the product on the show, on the final airing of the episode, was Beefarino.
Yes. It gave the horse a lot of gas.
it gives the horse a lot of gas, yeah. As of May of 1997, which is only like a year or so out from the show from Seinfeld ending, Chef Boyardee was the only company to ever turn down a mention on the show.
Wow.
Although, to be fair, I guess they only checked, like their legal team only checked when they thought someone might have an objection. And I guess that, you know, a very flatulent horse
right,
is a pretty fair objection to the use of your product.
Yeah, sure. it's not like that product comes out with the best light, the end of that episode.
No.
Yeah.
Also, Beefarino is just very funny to say out loud. So I'm really glad that Chef Boyardee pushed back.
Yes. Beefarino is excellent. Thank you so much for bringing the Seinfeld memory back to me. This is great.
I suspect it's the first and only time, but I'm glad I could help.
Yes. Thank you.
In the year 2000, ConAgra would purchase the company that held the Chef Boyardee brand at the time. And although sales remained strong through the early 2000s, thanks in part to more co-branded tie-ins, like with the World Wrestling Federation and with NASCAR, Chef Boyardee sales began to dip over the next decade or so. A lot of long-standing brand name prepackaged food companies had faltered during this time due to a combination of factors. You know, there was a greater emphasis on fresh foods and home cooking. And simultaneously, a lot of store brands came out with, like, more suitable, less expensive alternatives to those relatively expensive brand names. Even the then-new chief executive of ConAgra, one Sean Connolly, told Fox Business back in 2017, "A lot of what's crept into big companies is internal focus, bureaucracy, PowerPoint presentations, the antithesis of agility."
Oh, swinging hard at PowerPoint.
Right? I'm like, thank you, sir. Golf clap. Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's funny. It reminds me of we used to have this video series called Trapped in a Meeting. And I feel like that's sort of what he's describing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's a weird, beautiful one. If y'all ever want to see Josh and Chuck of Stuff You Should Know doing a very strange bit that I think is spectacular.
Yeah, agreed.
Also, I'm trying really hard not to laugh through the entire thing because our boss, Connell, who is also sometimes an actor, mm-hmm. just got up and improvised like 45 straight minutes of absolute business BS.
Yes.
And it was hilarious.
It's the stuff of legends, yeah.
Yeah, we were all trying to keep a straight face. At any rate. In 2011, Boyardee's grandniece, Anna Boyardee, previously mentioned, released a book called Delicious Memories, Recipes and Stories from the Chef Boyardee Family.
I love it.
In 2014, YouTuber LavaPix, somewhat famous for uploading pictures of things being consumed by lava, uploaded a video of a can of Chef Boyardee ravioli getting consumed by a flow of lava.
This is not something I knew existed. And now want to check out immediately.
Yeah. I mean, lava's pretty. Things exploding is funny.
In certain context.
Well, okay. Thank you, Annie. You're a better person than I am.
Just looking out.
Appreciate it.
In 2015, Chef Boyardee and their current parent company, ConAgra, were sued for the use of deceptive advertising. Their labeling claimed their products were free of preservatives, but they did, in fact, use a preservative by the name of citric acid, which is present in all citrus fruits and even naturally produced in the human body. The plaintiff behind the lawsuit was looking for $5 million to be paid out to any purchasers of Chef Boyardee products in the preceding 3 years, but it was ultimately dismissed.
Yeah, citric acid is one of those things that It's a flavoring too. It's both. That's a separate episode. Anyway, it was around that time, 2015 or so, that the brand really began emphasizing Boyardee's story in their advertising. In 2018, they released a line of throwback recipes that involve more premium ingredients, like beef meatballs made with what sounds like I'd use to make beef meatballs, instead of out of stuff like a soy protein concentrate and mechanically separated chicken, stuff like that.
Right.
They're also 50% more expensive than the normal line and tend to be even higher in fat and salt, which I found interesting.
I find that interesting too. Of like when I was a kid, I much preferred home style chicken noodle soup. But, it was in a can. It's just the addition of home style. It cracks me up.
Yeah. And that's the same thing. These are still canned products.
Right.
But sure. The campaign for this line's release involved a song with an accompanying music video. And this song is called Start the Party.
Uh-huh.
And it features Donny Osmond and Lil Yachty.
Oh, that's not a mashup. There's a lot of things going on here that I'm a little surprised by.
This song hit number 3 on Spotify's most popular playlist.
What? Oh.
I say with a question mark.
I've got to check it out. Now, you are presenting a lot of cultural things that I have missed and must be corrected. I could not even begin to imagine what this sounds like.
You know, I honestly didn't look it up because I wasn't sure if I had the strength today for whatever that's going to look like.
You need to be in the right place for sure.
Yep.
Watch out for your mental health,
Yeah.
Maybe one day you can return.
I hope so. I think so, Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. The brand has overall been seeing an uptick in sales over the past couple years. And it did get a boost from COVID-19 isolation, from, people making a rush on shelf-stable and nostalgic products. Stores have been selling out. And ConAgra overall has increased production across a lot of their brands. Also, right now, as of 5 days ago, someone put up a petition on change.org related to the Black Lives Matter movement, a petition to replace a statue of Christopher Columbus that's in Cleveland's Tony Brush Park, which is in the city's Little Italy neighborhood, to replace the statue of Columbus with a statue of Boyardee. And this petition is really great. It makes a number of excellent points. I do want to quote for you the end of the petition because I cannot think of a better way to end this episode. It's time for Cleveland to remove its statue to a genocidal sociopath with a bowl cut and erect a statue to an immigrant success story who enriched our community with his food and iconic mustache.
Agreed. Iconic mustache. Yes. Love it. Isn't there a petition to change the name of Columbus to Flavortown? Because Guy Fieri is from there.
I have not seen that one, but that sounds like a thing that would exist.
Nope. So. It's definitely a thing that exists. It's got thousands of signatures. So can you imagine if they... It becomes Flavortown, and then you can go visit the Chef Boyardee statue.
That would truly, I say this with only the smallest amount of irony. That would be beautiful. That would be really nice. That would make me so happy. And I'm not sure that the humans who live there would be as equally pleased with living in Flavortown.
Yeah.
But I would be psyched about that. If Atlanta was you know what, we're Flavortown now, I would be strange pivot, but great.
I just can't imagine teaching your kids, if you had kids. So I mean, hey.
They've got to learn about Flavortown somehow.
It's true. I think this is as good a place as any to end this episode.
Yeah, that's that's clearly all we have to say.
Yes.
We do have some listener mail for you, but first we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with a listener. Beautiful. That was excellent,
Lauren.
Thank
you. Yeah. That was excellent, Annie.
Together, we were both excellent.
Yes.
Yes. Mike wrote, "Hello, I was listening to your podcast on green onions, and you brought up a garden mishap involving garlic, and you mentioned smell. I'd like to share with you my own gardening mishap involving garlic. I was living in southern Arkansas for 3 years and had a great garden. I ended up taking a job in my hometown in Illinois and moved. A roommate was taking care of our Arkansas house and my garden until I was able to move everything to Illinois. By the time I got down there in the middle of the hot Arkansas summer, he had let my garden go and it was full of weeds. Luckily, I was able to salvage my garlic. Once packed up, I picked said garlic plants and made the mistake of putting it in the U-Haul we had rented. Like I said, this was midsummer with temps in the upper 90s and a drive to Illinois of 10 hours. Imagine how bad it smelled when I opened that door in Illinois. All of the furniture reeked of garlic for months after, and my wife even had me throw some stuff out because it was so bad. Anyway, thought you might get a chuckle out of my mistake." And yes.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Condolences, but that is quite funny.
That's very, very amusing. Oh, no, though.
I had a similar incident. It wasn't this bad at all, but I took a road trip with a friend, and we were in Nevada. We stayed in Vegas for 4 or 5 days, and we were walking up to our car to leave, and we both had this moment where we paused, looked at each other in horror, and said at the same time, I kid you not, "The bananas." And we had left this like bunch of bananas in there, and the smell was horrendous. And we were like only halfway through our road trip.
Oh, wow.
It was bad. And they had like fermented into goo. It was hard to clean.
Oh, sure.
Ugh, banana car. We call it the banana car incident.
Oof. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I had, I don't have anything in a motor vehicle like that, but the first time, like I was like a young professional, I was like just out of college, and I was super proud of myself because I with my like first paycheck, I like went and bought a crock pot and I felt really adult and everything. And I think I was so worked up about the entire experience that I wasn't paying attention to the recipe, and I put in so much more garlic than it called for.
Yeah.
It probably called for like one or two cloves, and I probably put in like a head. Ooh. I was just like, this seems like a lot, but that's going to be delicious. I love garlic. And yeah, within an hour, it was bad to the point that, yes, it was a garlic apartment for at least a week.
That was life trying to keep you humble.
It was. Yeah. It was. You know, I'm not going to say that I needed that right then.
Sure.
But the lesson is always welcome.
Yes, indeed.
Maggie wrote, I was listening to your Green Onion Scallions episode, and it sent me down memory lane. I currently reside in California, but was born and raised in Taiwan, and green onions were a staple item there. They're often used as toppings for food, soup, porridge, grilled meat, even the infamous stinky tofu. But as you mentioned in the episode, green onions are often used to make scallion pancakes, and they've been one of my favorite food items. This historic food item, originally meant for farmers to eat on the go, has become an iconic street food. Here in Taiwan, you can always find a street food vendor selling scallion pancakes near tourist attractions. Some vendors even became so famous that they are the attraction. There are lots of varieties, including but not limited to scallion with fried egg pancake, thousand-layer scallion pancake, thick scallion pancake, like about an inch, and exploding egg scallion pancake. The exploding egg is where they wrap an egg within the pancake and deep fry it just enough that the outside is crispy but the yolk is runny, so it explodes when you bite in. Ooh. Side note, exploding egg is a homonym to bomb in Mandarin. All of that is to say that I miss Taiwan and my family. I live here alone, and with the current situation, I don't think I'd be able to go back anytime soon. So typing all of these out is sort of helping me cope with my homesickness. P.S. Scallion is such a prominent plant here that my brother Jim once vowed to make a scallion craft beer out of his brewery.
Ooh. I mean.
In Taiwan, it's called Jim and Dad's for anyone who's looking for breweries in Taiwan.
I mean, I'm into it.
I
would like to try that. Yes.
I would definitely like to try that. That sounds, you know, like there's a lot of flavors and especially kind of like hoppy beers, pale ales and et cetera that have like kind of like grassy notes, and scallion also has some grassy notes. Mm-hmm. So I'd be interested to see what would happen there.
Mm-hmm. I would too. And all those scallion pancakes sound delicious. So.
Oh, yes.
Oh, all right. The cravings are setting in. The cravings. Thanks to both of them for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.